Thank you, Ben. Well, it is a privilege to be with you again here at Concordia. And today is Father's Day. And so happy Father's Day to those of you out there that applies to. God bless you. And so I've been asking, as I've been preparing, our Heavenly Father, what was most on his heart today that he wanted to speak to all of his sons and his daughters. And so I want to invite you into a time that's going to be a little bit different this morning than a normal sermon. And it's going to require that you actually engage with your heart and your mind. You can't just sit there passively this morning and then walk away with what you need to walk away with. The Lord is inviting you to engage your heart and your mind through this journey today. So I trust your heart will be open to receive. And I just want to start with a little prayer, if we can. Father, we are here today because of you. And we ask for your spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you better today and know what you desire most for us. Open the eyes of our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have three questions for you to start out with. The first question is this: what does your heart desire most? Desire. It is a longing for. It is when you really want something and you express a deep longing. It is the object of your longing. It is a strong yearning that you have on the inside of you. Desire is usually not when you're asking for just any old thing, but it is associated with something that will bring you great pleasure. It is a sense of longing or hoping that you have on the inside of you for a person or an object or some particular outcome. What does your heart desire most? What is the greatest longing or yearning of your heart today? As you're sitting here right now, be honest. You're in church. Sometimes we get so busy with the activities of our lives that we actually neglect our own hearts. Pay attention to what's actually going on in the inside of us. What does your heart truly desire most? Is there one desire that would make every other desire pale in comparison? As you think about this question, don't just settle for the first thing that comes to your mind. Go deeper. Sometimes when thinking about the things that we desire, the surface things come to mind first. Or a desire for a particular circumstance or situation you're in right now that you want to see something happen in. But that situation will eventually shift and change. It will pass. I'm talking about the deep longings, yearnings, desires of your heart that ultimately affect the way you live. The things you do, the places you go, the thoughts you think, what you do with your time, how you spend your time, who you spend your time with. What or who does your heart desire most? Don't just look at me. Think about it. There should be an answer rising up in your heart now, in your mind. Second question, what do you think God desires most? In relationship to you personally, we're not talking about what God desires most maybe in the world. What does he desire most for you personally? Do you know? What does God desire most? Third question. Is your desire and his desire the same? Does what you desire most and what God desires most, are they the same? Or are they different? Should they be the same? What if they were the same? In our citywide prayer meetings, God has been speaking to us about this word desire. It's a group of people from across the city called Hope WA, House of Prayer for Everyone. We meet and go to different churches on Saturday nights to pray and to worship. And one of the things that we have been pressing into prayer for is for this city, for this state, to experience an outpouring of God's Spirit. We've been asking God for revival in His church. We've been asking for an awakening in this land, for people to come alive to the reality that Jesus is real, He is alive, that He loves them. We've been asking for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit where people acknowledge that our God is the one true God. And they come alive like we are alive in our spirit to Him. And one night we were praying, and one of the ladies began to pray, and she said, "Lord, if you would like to give us some kind of a revelation or understanding as to why we are not experiencing an outpouring and a move of your Spirit in our city and in your church in this place, would you give us that revelation? Will you help us to see? Will you help us to know? Will you help us to understand?" And so we paused at that moment in the meeting, and we said, "Well, maybe God wants to show us something right now." So we sat quietly before God and we said, "God, is there anything that you want to reveal to us about why we are not experiencing more of the fullness of your Spirit and your power at work in our city and in this place?" And one of the pastors, after our time of waiting on the Lord, said, "God said this to me. God said, my people don't really desire me. They desire the things of the world more than they desire me and my presence." He told me that we were like teenagers in that moment. He gave me a picture. Said teenagers, they love the provision of their parents. They love the fact that you provide a place for them to stay. They love the fact that you give them food. They love the fact that they can come to you and ask you for money so that they can go out and spend time with their friends, because that's what they really want to do. They don't really want to spend a whole lot of time with their parents in their teenage years. They want to go out there and they want to spend time with their friends and doing all these activities. But they're more than happy to come for you when they need something. And God said, my people are a lot like teenagers right now. Say they come to me for what I can do for them, what I can give them. They love the fact that I'll give them provision. They'll love the fact that I'll help them get the job, or that I'll heal their bodies, or whatever it is. We come to Him asking Him for all these things. But we don't really just want to come and be with Him. We don't really want to just come and enjoy His presence or long for His presence, long to be with Him, long to sit at His feet. Because we desire the world and the things of this world more. We would rather go spend hours in front of the TV. We would rather go spend hours in front of the Facebook or the computer. We would rather be doing anything else except for be with Him and long for Him and desire Him and desire His presence in our lives. Another lady that night, after God shared this word from through the pastor, she said, "I just saw the big words in bold black letters, fellowship. And God said to me, I desire their fellowship. I desire your fellowship." And as God was speaking these two words, immediately it dropped into my spirit the scripture that we read just a few minutes ago from James chapter 4. And He was using this scripture to help us understand what He was saying when He said, "My people love the world more than they love Me. They desire the world more than they desire Me." And this word fellowship representing His desire. And through this scripture, the Lord was saying, "My people, you're actually committing adultery. Adulterous people. You belong to Me, but you're more in love with the world and the things of this world than you're in love with Me. You desire the things of this world more than you desire Me." But in this scripture, we also hear the desire of God. Do you notice it? He says, "Don't you know that the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within you jealously longs for you?" He's saying, you love the world, but the Holy Spirit within you, He longs to be in fellowship with you. He longs to be communicating with you. He longs to have this conversation. He longs for you to come and spend time with Him. He misses your presence. He misses your attention. He misses your fellowship. Can we just bring that James 4 scripture up? Do you see it there? I want you to see it. Do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns, desires, jealously? What is He jealous of? He's jealous that we are spending more time in our hearts with the world than with Him. What does God most desire? He desires you. He desires your presence, your love, your attention, your fellowship. In our gospel reading today, we hear the story of the woman caught in adultery, which really represents us. But the beauty of this story is what we want to focus on this morning. Here we learn in this story that even though God this morning is coming to us and He's confronting us with our adulterous spirit of loving the world more than we love Him, He is also saying, "I am not here to condemn you." Even as Jesus said to that woman, "I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to forgive you. And I'm here to call you to leave your life of sin and come be with Me. Come desire Me like I desire you." Through this story, God is saying, "I'm here to declare My desire for you, and I'm hoping that you'll respond to Me this morning." If you read later on in that scripture in James, what does God say? "Draw near to Me." And what? What's the promise? "I will draw near to you." Do you hear God's heart this morning? Do you hear His desire? "My people, I long for you. I desire you. Draw near to Me." Don't be double-minded. When He says in that scripture in James that you're double-minded, He's talking about part of you loves Me, but The other part of you that is much greater and stronger is that part that actually desires and loves the world. You're double-minded. He's inviting us into that single-mindedness of desiring Him above and beyond anything and everything else. I recently discovered a song, and this is where it's going to be a little different this morning, that tells this story from John chapter 8. We're going to listen to this song, and as we do, I want to invite you to put yourself in the woman's shoes. Close your eyes if you have to. Imagine the story as it's being sung and it's unfolding. Put yourself in the woman's shoes. She represents you. She also represents us as the church, as the woman, the church caught in adultery this morning, loving the world more than we love God. Her story is our story because we're all sinners. Her story is also the story of church because we're all guilty at some level of committing adultery with the world. Some of us more than others, the Holy Spirit will reveal and show that to us today if our hearts are open and we're listening and responsive. But what this story unfolds for us more than anything is the heart of God and the desire of God. As you're listening to the song, I want you to listen for that word, desire. Pay attention when you hear that word, desire. What is God saying? What is He revealing? What is He speaking into your heart? Let it penetrate your spirit this morning. Receive that desire from heaven. The song is called The Harlot, sung by Misty Edwards. It's not your typical 5-minute song, so just engage in the story as we listen to it. And what's going to happen here this morning is this song is going to bring together everything that we've been doing from the very beginning. In our worship, as we said, Jesus, You are worthy of it all. It's going to bring together our communion, where we're reminded in that song that was playing beforehand about mercy, that mercy paid for me. The wrath of God was taken for me at the cross. It's going to bring together the word of the Lord this morning speaks to us about God's desire. And in that song that we listened to before communion, it said this: may I never lose the wonder of Your mercy. Father, I ask that as we listen and as we encounter You through this song, that You'd help us once again regain the wonder of Your mercy. And our hearts would be penetrated by the fullness of Your desire for us. We offer our listening hearts to You right now.
I am broken, I am wounded, I am wretched and ashamed, and a harlot is like a chain around my neck, it's my name. She sings the song of humanity, the song of you, the song of me. They drag her through the city square, dragging her by her hair. She's kicking and screaming and fighting, drag her through the city square, dragging her by her hair. I am broken, I am wounded, I am angry and afraid. And a harlot, it's like a chain around my neck. It's my name, it's my name. She's face down. There's tangled hair everywhere as she's crying in the dust. As the dust turns to mud on her face. There's tangled hair everywhere as she's crying in the dust. Face down, open up, oh open up, oh ground beneath me. How long does it take to stone one harlot down? I know the law as well as they do, and I'm guilty, guilty. An adulterer, and I know, oh, will this day never end? How long does it take to stone one harlot down? I'm broken, I am wounded, I am wretched and ashamed, and a harlot. It's like a chain around my neck. It's my name. As the congregation of the righteous gather around, they're ready to stone her down. As the congregation of the righteous gather around, they're ready to stone them down. And someone from that frenzied mob shouts out, let's take her to the teacher. Let's test him and see what he will say. An interruption of agreement. As they take her by her hair, they drag her through the city square. They're dragging her by her hair. She gave up the fight like a limp rag. They drag her through the city square, dragging her by her hair. She's face down. I am broken, I am wounded, I am angry and afraid. And a harlot, it's like a chain around my neck. It's my name, it's who I am. Open up, oh open up, oh ground beneath me. It wasn't supposed to end this way, but I'm guilty and I know it. Oh, I had so many plans, so much to do. It's too late. Guilty, and I know it. Face down. What is he doing? As the congregation of the righteous gather round, they're ready to stone her down. They throw her at the feet of the teacher. Dare I look up? Surely they brought me here to mock me. There's tangled hair everywhere as she's crying in the dust. As the dust turns to mud on her face. There's tangled hair everywhere. She's face down in the dust and the mud. And there's a hush in the congregation. What is he doing? Time stands still. Judgment, and there is the harlot, and she is me. Face down, looking through the tangled hair and the mud in my eyes. Grimness, I raise my gaze only to realize I'm surrounded by beauty that would never be mine. As regret like a wave came crashing over me, if I had only known such beauty was available, if I'd only known, but now it's too late. And the accuser of the brethren was pacing back and forth and back and forth and to and fro as he spat out his words. He was going back and forth and back and forth. He was listing off my sins one by one. And the thing was, he was telling the truth. Guilty, 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 guilty. In the great cloud of witnesses. The accuser of the brethren was going back and forth with glee in his eye. Guilty, 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 guilty. It resounded to the corridor of eternity and time like a thunder in my soul. He was right, I was guilty, guilty, and to an eternal damnation for my soul. There's nothing I could do. There's nothing I could do, face down. Face down. Couldn't even open my eyes. The regret was so strong. There's a hand on my shoulder. On my shoulder, and I hear a voice like music in my ear. Dare I look up? I couldn't lift my eyes, but all I saw were those beautiful feet. And I heard that voice like music. Music to my soul. And he said, Father, I desire that she will be with me where I am. Show her my glory, Father. one, she is mine. She is mine, she is mine. He was praying for my soul. He was pleading for my behalf. He was praying for me. I couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't understand what was going on. Everything that's hers would be mine. Father, Father, I desire this one, she is mine, she is mine, she is mine. And all of heaven gasped in belief. And I opened up my eyes, and I watched in wonder. And there was a great throne, and there was the Father, and he had a cup of wrath with my name on it. It had my name on it. And I was just about to rise to drink, guilty, guilty, guilty. But I watched in unbelief as this beautiful one, he walked over to the Father, and he took off the cup. And before I knew what was going on, he drank of the cup. He drank of the cup. He drank of the cup of the Father's wrath. He drank of the cup of the marriage wine. He drank of the cup with my name on it. He drank of the cup, and oh, the blood. I jumped to my feet and I ran over to him, and it was too late. And I tried to stop him, but I didn't know it was too late. And oh, the blood, and oh, the blood, and oh, the blood. It should have been me, and I was weeping and weeping. And I ran over, forgetting where I was. And I fell down, face down, down. And oh, it pleased the Father, crushing, but it was too late. I began to plead, it should have been me, it should have been me. It should have been me, but it was too late. Why did he do it? It was too late. And oh, the blood, and oh, the blood, and oh, the blood, and oh, the blood. I was weeping and weeping and crying. It should have been me. It should have been me. It should have been me. Face down. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? It should have been me. I was weeping and weeping. Why did he give his life? Oh, the blood was weeping and weeping. And I heard a whisper like music. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. And I looked to the left, I looked to the right, and I was on a sea of glass like crystal. There was a great, great, great congregation dressed in white. From every tongue, from every tribe, from every people. And the music began, and the celebration erupted. And I opened up my eyes, and there was the Lamb as though he was slain. And I was at a wedding, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I looked down, and I was dressed in fire, radiate. get ready, there's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. People, get ready, there's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. People, get ready, there's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. There's gonna be a wedding. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. Who can comprehend where this is going? He said, beauty, arise, arise, arise. Beauty, arise, arise, arise.
On this Father's Day, the Father has sent me here to say that He desires you. And all that He did for you on the cross was a demonstration of that deep desire within Him for you, for fellowship with you. And this morning, the question that the Father places before you is, will you respond? Will you hear the cry of my heart for my desire for you? And will you allow the desire within you to begin to rise up for Him? Because when God's desire for you and your desire for Him meet, there is an explosion of His presence. What does your heart desire most? I'm just going to close with a couple songs. I invite you to just use this time to let your heart respond to the Father's desire this morning.